You're listening Pretty Late. Happy Thursday. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We'll be here till 2 a.m. when Nick DeGilio takes over. Joining me in studio is Scott Stantis. And, we've been typically saving stories, national news and things like that, as far as our administration goes in Washington, D.C. But so many things have happened just today that I don't think that I can just hold on. We're going to talk to David Hochberg in just a little bit. We're going to do Thrifty Thursday. So I want everyone who has any financial questions. And let me say this. These two things are actually tied together. What happened today with the new budget that the President of the United States has released, can significantly impact people. The Federal Reserve is going to raise interest rates.
Yes.
A lot of things are changing. So, I don't know how much we can put into perspective today with David Hochberg, but if you're not paying attention to your finances, if you just kind of go, well, I kind of have a vague idea. And believe me, that's me. Every single time I hear someone talking about finances, I hear Susie Orman or even David Hochberg, because he is the Sam Kinison of of savings and financial questions and ideas. My brain shuts down.
You go to your happy place, don't you?
I know. I get very anxious. I get very tense and am I doing enough? They have these. When I was a comic in my 20s, there was an older comic who told me to put away 10% of everything I earned.
Yeah, pay yourself first.
I never did that in my 20s. And I did more of it in my early 30s. I started to do that. I would take big chunks because I knew I hadn't done it in my 20s whenever I would have.
Sure.
Well, as an artist, it is feast or famine.
Yes.
You have a steady job. I finally, in the first time in my career, have a steady income with benefits. I never had that in my entire life as my own source of a career. So I'm trying to get a handle on it. And then I hear these other, Steve Cochran had an investor on yesterday talking about what you should be doing and how you should, commercial investment income was what he was talking about. And I started Googling that and I thought, do I do this? And the return sounded really good and dividends and all these things. And then my brain imploded and I didn't go to my happy place. I'm like, I think it's very easy with money to kind of think the same way with your health. Well, I haven't done it yet. It's too late. Or I'm not going to get better. Or it is easy to sink into your past behavior.
Sure.
And just hang there.
And it's also easy. I mean, I'm lucky now we have 401(k)s at work. And so, I hand my money to someone and say, don't hurt me.
Don't hurt you?
Yeah, just please, just let something be there at the end of life issues.
Right. But we should have a better handle on that.
Yeah, we should.
My mother is extraordinary. And I only know that because I don't know if she knows this, but our accounts are linked. So when I go online and look at my accounts, she's put my name on her account. So they somehow have put that onto my online banking. And I was like, mommy took care of stuff. She didn't start saving until really significantly when she was in her 40s. And she has done very well, has been very smart about her money. And I look at that, I'm like, wow, I really don't think I'm going to be there when I'm her age.
Well, I have a question for David tonight. You've been to my house. You've seen I have an original Peanuts. There's an auction house that's been calling me. Honestly, because 2 years ago or so, I sent them a picture of it saying, how much is this worth? And it was.
Do you want to tell me how much?
It was $10,000 to $12,000.
Okay.
Then. But they're calling me a lot now. And I went online with, because, the internet is. Nothing's ever.
What does your keyboard sound like? Interesting. Hold on. I can do it for you.
There it is.
There it is.
Except when I type, it's more like.
Yeah, I can see that. I know. This is a lot of misspelling, by the way. This is why I don't have a better autocorrect on my computer.
So I want to ask him if I should, I met Charles Schulz. Mm-hmm. He gave me an original Peanuts, and I'm wondering.
Is your name on it?
Yes.
Interesting. And apparently, because I've heard that's not as good when,
well,
you, when it's personalized.
Well, because of my position in the cartooning world.
Oh, it's compounded.
Yeah, apparently. Mm. So that's why these people are calling and emailing me. I'm like, well, I mean, I like it. It's just kind of cool to have it. So.
Yes. I know. Does part of you want to leave it to your estate and have be able to own it? I think that's something you keep. But that's me. Let's ask David Hopkins.
Yeah.
Maybe he has a thought about that. Maybe he's like, not my area of expertise.
I wish I had a Sunday because I just looked him up. I mean,
a Sunday?
I looked up. You know how much an original Sunday peanuts is?
How much?
Going for 55 to 60.
Wow. Well, yeah. You should have asked him for a Sunday. More to this on 720 WGN. Oh, and call us 312-981-7200 if you have any questions for David Hochberg and your finances, saving money, refinancing your mortgage, those kinds of things. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us. More when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is cartoonist Scott Stantis.
What are we laughing at?
It was Sean Spicer. They were replaying. So I watched that live. Also joining us, he was gaslighting an entire room of journalists. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh.
What was he doing?
Hey, what's that verb? Is that
Michael Palasek is in the studio with us as well. Right. Gaslighting?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a movie called Gaslight.
Okay.
It's a 1940s movie. No, that's Rebecca.
Oh.
Gaslight is actually with the lead actor. Angela Lansbury plays the maid in the house. I believe it's Ingrid Bergman.
Yes.
Now we have to Google it. But it's a French actor who is in the lead. And essentially I don't want to give it away because it'd be a spoiler.
Yeah,
but the woman of the house feels like she's going crazy because things kind of, you know, like. But so the gaslight element of it is that light, that lamp lighter, darker or lighter than it was a minute ago? And then the maid's like, "What are you talking about? It's exactly the same as it was a moment ago." So that's what Sean Spicer is doing to
what was he doing to the press?
To the journalists, they were asking about, "Will you?" You know, yesterday they came out and said the guys who were on the security, you know, chair. The department guys were saying that they had gotten information from intelligence that there was no wiretapping. At this point, there is no evidence that there's been any wiretapping.
Right.
And Spicer was like, "Well, what do you mean? Do you have all the information?" And he's like, "No, but we're asking you if you have all the information. But do you have all the information? I don't know information." You know, and just back and forth. And it was sort of like this strange. I thought, is he trying to prove to his debate coach in high school that he was listening? Like, just make it about the other person and not about the argument.
Yeah, but I know you are, but what am I?
Even
it really isn't an argument.
We should probably, I'm sure someone's going to make a compilation of all the best of that press conference. I'm sure it'll be on John Oliver or Samantha Bee next week, or maybe Colbert did something tonight, but it was.
Maybe it'll be on Pretty Late.
Well, that's a lot of work to, I don't know how to edit.
You don't have
yet.
Those interns?
We were talking about, yes, I don't have interns. I was talking to some students last night from DePaul and I was like, how do you get an intern? Like, really, how do you get an intern?
Kramer got one on Seinfeld just by saying.
I need an intern. Do I put it on Craigslist? I need an intern.
Yeah, you can go to the different colleges in the area and probably put the word out. And I think people want to get into broadcasting. My goodness.
Isn't it illegal, though, to not pay somebody?
College credit.
College credit?
You get paid in college credit.
So can I say that because I work at. But see, then it's under WGN and we don't do that anymore. So I can't. Do I do that as a performer? I'm a business owner, I guess.
You could do that.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Michael, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say that. You're a business owner.
Oh, yeah, I'm a business
Are you an
owner.
LLC now?
No, I'm still Michael Palasek.
Mm. Change that. So,
listen, my dad's my accountant. We can get him on the line.
Does he want you to be an LLC?
No, a while ago, when I first started, he was like, you should. But then I think something changed. And now, for where I'm at, it's a little better for me not to be an LLC.
Excellent. I haven't claimed anything as LLC. I do have a 501. A 501? Yeah, nonprofit. But I haven't done anything with that either.
Now, you're LLC too?
Yeah, I have both. I bought both just in case.
Okay.
I just parked the titles.
My daughter-in-law is talking about starting a podcast, which it's a brilliant idea, which I want to say on the air because it's really brilliant.
Not to mention it, but a lot of people have podcasts. I don't want to.
What? No, but this one is going
to be a great podcast idea.
One, to cut through the clutter?
I told her to do an LLC and to just cover her.
I would say wait.
Really?
Right? Yeah.
I don't know anything about the podcast game.
Well, you know, Chris has a question about something else entirely, but not unrelated entirely because it was from before our break. You were talking about a Peanuts. Is it a cell?
It's a comic strip. It's a daily comic strip.
And it's autographed.
Yeah, with Snoopy and Woodstock.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you are an expert in the realm of comic books
and
such?
Oh, God, no.
Well, then I have bad news for Chris, who has a question. Go ahead,
sure,
Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
What's your question, Chris?
Hey, Patty, Mike, and Scott. How are you?
Hello, hello. Yeah, we're good.
I was wondering, Scott, being a cartoonist, I have an old comic book collection from like the 60s and 70s. If there's someone or some way I could find out what they're worth, would you know anywhere in Chicago?
Yeah, there's three or four. I mean, a good place to start would be going to some of the comic book stores here in town and take them in there. First of all, what kind of shape are they in?
Excellent to very, very good.
Oh, great. Wow. Do you have any Flash comics?
I have a 1967 Thor in plastic.
Ooh, nice. I was a Flash man myself. Shut up.
I'm not judging you. Do you watch the CW?
Some of them that were really small, and I got some that were like the really big books.
Oh gosh, I remember those. Yeah, get to a comic book store, and they can get you going in the right direction at the very least.
Absolutely.
They may or may not trade in them, but those guys would be much more authoritative than I could ever be. I actually had the old Flash. I loved the Flash. He was my favorite. My son had a girlfriend. She worked at a comic book store, got me an omnibus of the Flash from the 60s. Wow. Oh, my God. It sucked. It was terrible. The art was fantastic. I think it was Roland Kirby, may have been one of the artists working on it, but it was some of the other legendary artists. But the writing is terrible. They didn't trust the artist. The Flash lyricist says, I'm going to go into the next room where the bad guy may be. I better watch myself. And you're just going, just walk through the door.
Do you live in the city, Chris?
Yes, I do. I live right by Midway.
Okay, so the only place I know is Challenger's comic book store on Western Avenue, but there's Google comic book stores, and they might be able to give you a
Third
fair...
Coast, mm-hmm. Second City Comics. So that's three for you right there. There's one. And what they can just give them a call. I wouldn't even, before you go down, just tell them what you're looking for, and they can take a look.
There you go. Chris, I'm sorry, couldn't give you a direct answer. We can just
point that's
you.
Fine. I have a large collection. I have like almost 2,000. And one place was like, just bring them all in. And I'm like, no, I don't think I'm going to bring them all in at once.
Well, I would say take a sampling of the ones that you think are probably worth a lot, some of the ones you're not sure about, the ones that you think should be.
And the other thing is your camera has a phone on it now, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So take some pictures of them as well.
Oh, you and your problem solving. You're just a show off. Chris, have a great night. Let us know how it turns out, will you? I want to know.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, I will. Thank you.
And if you have any Flash comics books, let Scott know.
Well, of course. They're all superheroes. All of it.
Well, then call some of the Flash ones and possibly send an email to Scott Stantis letting him know what you have.
At sstantis@chicagotribune.com.
How's that?
Got it. I'll do that.
Perfect.
Thanks, Chris.
See? Friends helping friends. Have a great night, Chris. Thank you. Hey, joining us right now is David Hochberg. If you have any questions about your finances, 312-981-7200. It is Thrifty Thursday. Hey, David, how are you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very well.
Great. Poor.
Poor.
Financially.
Poor.
I've been seeing a lot of performers posting on Facebook asking if anyone knows of a good accountant. Do you? Because you asked last week or the week before, you've said things like, "Well, do you have someone managing your money?" And everybody else answered, and I was very quiet. I don't have a financial planner. I don't have an accountant. I don't have any of those things. Am I in trouble, David?
Well, I wouldn't say that you're in trouble. I would just say that a good accountant will save you whatever they charge you to do your tax returns, and I know that my guy that I've been using for the past 10 years has done a phenomenal job, because I know how to make money. I don't know how to follow all the CPA rules and all that stuff. That's not my job. That's his job. And
right.
I got a couple of investment properties and partnerships and all that stuff. And, it gets to a point where it becomes too complex for me to do it. It's just not like, making X number of dollars a year, and I have a W-2. When you start getting into investment property ownership, and you start getting into investing in companies, and you get all these K-1s, and
I hear you.
It's like, what I mean? It's like, yeah.
I'm shaking my head, and Michael's laughing because I don't have investment. I mean, I have my 401k. I have some money parked. I have most of anything I have that isn't in my savings or checking is in a retirement fund, mostly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, who's managing that retirement fund? Are you, or is it a 401k?
It's a 401k. 401ks, yeah.
Okay. Well, then, if you switch jobs, mm-hmm. which a lot of people have a tendency of doing. You could take the 401k.
Do you know something I don't?
No, not at all. Trust me, they don't tell me anything either. So,
okay, sorry.
You know, I'll find out, you know, in Feeder when you find out in Feeder. So,
yeah, it felt that way last year.
Yeah, it felt like
standard
we're,
in the radio.
Yeah, we were touched right in the feeder.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. You were saying when people switch jobs.
No, well, you know, when people switch jobs, they, you know, sometimes they take the money and roll it over to their new company's 401k, or they take the money and put it into a self-directed IRA. And, you know, when that happens, it falls into the CPA category, like I just mentioned. I don't know how to invest money. You know what I mean? I know how to help you get a low interest rate when it comes to mortgages. I know how to advise you to get pre-qualified for a loan and talk to you about four or five different financing options, but which mutual fund is the hottest. I don't have time to monitor that. You know, that's not my area of expertise. And I have, you know, a guy that's been managing my money for the past 20 years who does a nice job. And I recommend that everybody, if you have some type of portfolio or growing it, to talk with a financial planner. And I'm affiliated with a couple of them, depending upon how much you have to invest. I've got people that specialize in first-time investors that are just starting out. And I've got a couple of guys and gals that specialize in $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, you know, portfolios on up. So I always recommend that people consult with experts in their field to get their advice, because they're experts in their field for a reason, because they do it for a living and they concentrate on that specific type of area, either it's accounting or financial planning.
And as somebody who works with mortgages and helping people understand refinancing and, you know, trying to clear, trying to catch up, and if not just catch up, but get ahead, what are the kinds of things that we can talk to our listeners about that they might, you know, have questions about, be worried about? Because, you know, at night, this is when things kind of settle in. You know, you're just trying to drift off, and no matter how much you try to clear your mind, you know, you're thinking about that payment, how much I have to make before the middle of the month, or how much I'm going to. We've talked a lot of this on this show with you about trying to pay your credit cards every Friday.
And I love
that idea. And I think it's a great thing for people to keep in their mind. Just every Friday, just pay off a chunk of your credit card bill for that month, you know, and make sure that by when you come to the due date, you have paid off the entire thing. And that's hard for people.
Oh, so it's better to do it weekly, because then you can keep track of it more. I'm new to this.
We're gonna put a pin right there. I never say that. And David will answer that when we come back, because I have to take a break for the news. Do you mind, David?
No. Go ahead. I understand.
So we'll explain again why paying every Friday is better than paying just once a month. 312-981-7200. It is Thrifty Thursday with David. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is Thrifty Thursday. Does money freak you out? Does it stress you out? Does your brain just shut down? Because mine does. And that's why we have David Hochberg to help us out. He will advise you through tough love. And if he doesn't know, he'll point you in the right direction. David, we've talked about this, about how much shame people have when it comes to talking about their finances. And I think one of the reasons, when we were talking about financial planners and accountants earlier, I'm afraid to like bring my boxes of receipts to somebody and try to explain myself. That's one of the things that holds me back from having an accountant.
But it's like going to a gynecologist, though. You know what I mean? You know, it's like drop your pants and hop on the table. You know, they've seen it all. So it's like, it's no surprise to them. You know, sorry to be so graphic at 11:30 at night. But
no, James is saying it's exactly like that. Now I have to go and verify whether or not it's just like going to a gynecologist. You mean
I think if I jumped on the table, that might be a surprise.
No, it would be a little different for you, Scott.
Right.
That would be a little frightening if you
back
got
in
syrup,
the stirrups.
But hey, whatever floats your boat.
My dad's an accountant, so he's always done mine for me, which got kind of awkward, because one year I did really well and I was still living at home, and then they started charging me rent. I was like, that's a conflict of interest. You cannot make that call. You have to keep that information away from yourself.
And then how does he claim that? How does he claim that income too, then?
He just says it's for food. He just says that because I eat their food.
I love that. David, we do have a listener on the line who has a question for you, Tony, that wants to join us. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Very well. What do you want to ask David?
Well, I'm curious. I'm 32. I just got divorced about a year ago, and so that financially wiped me out of virtually everything with lawyers and all those good things. I'm a 1099 employee for two different jobs, and it's terribly difficult with paying the taxes essentially twice. to save up, and I don't find myself that I have much money left over at the end of the month that I really am able to invest. But I know at 32 I need to start, so when I get old and gray that I'll have something to live on and something still to leave for my kids behind. So I didn't know if there's any ways to start somewhere to start investing smaller amounts now that, you know, we'll be able to grow in any sort of fashion.
Sure. I mean, it's a great question. What everybody always says is, you know, how do you get started, right? And
right.
Tony, it could be as little as $25 or $50 to $100 a week, a month, you know, whatever you could afford. You know what I mean? If you read any of Warren Buffett's books or see the special on HBO, if you have HBO, he started with basically nothing, this guy. And, you know, he just invested every single nickel, extra nickel that he had, every extra dollar that he had, and look at him now. He's one of the, you know, world's richest guys. So, you know, you just got to take that first step, bud. If it's $5, great. If it's $10, if it's $50, whenever you can, you know, that's what you can put away. The tough thing for you is that that divorce with the kids, how old are your kids? The young kids?
4.5 and 18 months.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So, that's a long haul for you, Tony, with child support and care and all that. You know, any alimony or just child support?
She'd try to get alimony, but that's squeezing blood out of a turnip. I mean, there ain't nothing left after the kids get something and I'm able to just stay afloat. You know, I had to move into my parents' basement just to be able to pay child support and not, I mean, until I go completely under.
No, I get it. And with the new divorce laws, what are they taking, 32 or 38% of your income, right? So it doesn't leave the spouse that's paying the other spouse a whole lot of room there in order to make it work. So, you know, listen, it's tough, brother. There's no easy answer for you except to put whatever you can away that you can afford to put away and just start building your nest egg as slowly as you can.
Is there a certain type of fund or something to put into that's best to start out with or anything?
Well, here, whenever you're looking at something like that, the best type of fund would be like an S&P 500 fund, you know, a growth fund. You get those at any, you know, Schwab or Vanguard or anything like that, no load funds. And you can invest, you know, minimal amounts on a monthly basis just to build your portfolio from ground zero on up. You know, that's the safest way, you know, total stock market fund. Or a Fortune 500, you know, an S&P 500 fund is a safe play.
Okay,
I know it's cool. I know it's a long haul, Tony. And I wish that we could help you with immediately. And always, obviously, starting now is going in the right direction, as David mentioned.
Yeah,
you know, just start with, and even if it means, I know that it's hard. You're already in a position where you're strapped and trying to make ends meet. Just, you know, I've been trying to be conscious too, I think, of what you're doing on a daily basis. What are the things that you can maybe take that $2 or $3 or $5 that you're using
right.
for one thing and put that away, you know? And I think, there must be an app somewhere that, like, where you can sort of like, I didn't spend $5 on the Starbucks.
Yeah.
I'm going to just automatically put that away.
Sure. I've actually seen, there's a few apps now. They're investing apps.
Mm-hmm.
One of them I tried, but I'm really awful with money. It's called Acorns.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I heard about this.
Yeah, so it takes, whenever you spend anything, it'll take like the extra change mm-hmm. off of things paid. And then it puts it into this fund and you can kind of sort of, it starts to add up little by little.
And then
a few cents.
Well, then if you have it like sort of visual, it almost gamifies investing and saving because you're like, oh, if at the end of a week I have $25, let's see what I can do next week. And you try to beat yourself.
It's like Fitbits for money.
Exactly.
Well, I can't say that he did help me out last week. He gave me some free pizza. You won me from Lou Malnati.
Yeah, you're good for a while.
right. Yeah. You got one pizza. Someday we'll do.
So that fed me for like 5 days last week. Covered my lunches for a week. Yeah. That was great.
Well, it's not really a financial plan to try to win a pizza from the Malnati's on Pretty Late.
But
every
let's
6
not
months.
Discount it.
No.
Let's there's got to be other radio shows.
From you every week. I would be set in a few years. I might be sad and have to worry about health insurance premiums, but I'd be set.
You'd be set with pizza. Well, thank you so much, Tony. I appreciate it. Have a good night. We look forward to hearing from you again.
All right. Yep. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Good luck. That's something I've been thinking about, too, is just finding ways to, like, last year I went overboard with relying on Lyft, you know, whenever I was like, oh, I'll just get it. So this year I've been sort of, you know, not eliminating it, but being more precise in my
decisions. What I like to do is do Lyft Line, where you share the ride.
Yeah, you get to see more of the city that way.
And you get to meet strangers.
People, maybe David, new friends. Yeah. You never know.
David.
Character studies. College sorority.
David,
girls going to a party.
Do you find that the people aren't aware, they're not conscious of where, like, just a few dollars here and there is going, and they're really losing out on saving?
Sure. Well, here, look at a Starbucks on any given day, right? Mm-hmm. And look at all those, you know, geniuses spending $7 on a cup of coffee, which tastes like crap. You know?
Wait, Starbucks is not a sponsor of the Patty Vasquez Show. Is that correct? Right? Okay, just checking. Go ahead.
I agree with him. Yeah.
Carry on.
You know, I don't understand, you know, when it became cool to walk around with a white cup with green, you know, with green writing on it. I just don't understand that, you know. And when I was going to buy my first house, okay, I was living at Presidential Towers, and I went out and got I was working in the scrap iron and metal industry during the day, and I got a job on the weekends waiting tables, okay? Mm-hmm. And I made it a goal that if I didn't need it to survive, I wasn't going to spend it. And that included anything. If I was out to dinner with buddies, I drink water. You know what I mean? If they were having dessert, I wasn't having dessert.
I've never done that one time in my life.
James and I are like, I'm sorry, what are you? No, but I think that's a good point, because if there's something else you want, it's cheaper if you get it at home or just go without, obviously.
Sure. And I bought a $119,000 condo in 1990 something. I don't even remember. And I saved 5% for the down payment by just working a job waiting tables on the weekends. I pulled doubles from 7 to 7. I was working at a Jewish style deli. I was making $5 $5 a table, and you know, $125 a day. So I was clearing $250 cash a week. I was clearing $1,000 cash a month. It all added up. You know, I worked my tail off. I was 20 something years old, but guess what? I saved up enough to put 10% down on a condo that I really wanted to buy. So if you want to do it, like Tony just called in, you know, that $20 pizza that he won from you from Lou Malnati's, which is freaking delicious, by the way.
Oh my God. So good. Mm-hmm.
You know, that $20, you start putting it away. And then $5 this week, $10 next week. Before you know it, at the end of the year, you got 3-4 G's saved up.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, and then, you know, and then it just starts compounding. And he's gone through, you know, a tough time. And I use, you know, living in their parents' basements in my commercials all the time, because people are living in their parents' basements, okay, like Tony. And there's nothing wrong with it, because they had an economic hardship and they want to get out of the basements to buy a house. I'm not making this stuff up to try to sound funny. People are going back home to live in their parents' basements because they had a financial economic hardship. They had a death. They had divorce. And they've got to get recalibrated financially. And it's a great way to get recalibrated and move back home. But then after a while, you know, you can't get your groove on in your parents' basement. Or your parents are like, it's enough already. You know what I mean? It's been 3-4 years, and they're helping you get a leg up, and you finally get reestablished to where you could go back on your own and get your own place, if it's buying a place or if it's renting a place. But it's good to start having some money in the bank. If you just start with $5 or $10 a month.
How do you know how much to spend if you're renting a place, like apartment-wise? Like, is there a percentage?
The best way to do it, bud, is like 28% of your income.
Ooh, okay?
Monthly,
because that's what they use to qualify you for a mortgage, right?
Gotcha.
Is 28 to 31% of your gross income.
What if so as a comedian, like, I make a lot one month and nothing another month? Do I just move?
Well, you've got some major challenges.
Yeah.
You're like,
just moving your
mind. I mean, because your income is,
what that rent is.
Listen, I work with, I did John DeCoste as well.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And John's a great guy. Become good friends, and I learned all about how sporadic and erratic your income is.
Yeah.
You know, it's great, and then he does a couple of shows, and then the income comes in, then he's got to go to Ohio, and this, you know, I'm not telling you, you know, your career here, but it's just...
No, tell us more about John DeCoste's finances.
Yeah, please.
So how much did he make in Ohio? Who's booking that? I'm just curious.
No, but it varies. You know, when you can go 2, 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, a month without getting a gig that's paying you any type of money.
Exactly.
And then hit a big show, and then you're good. So, you know, when you know, I look at you as like a commissioned salesperson, right? Mm-hmm. Where you could go 3, 4 months earning nothing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden have 3, 4 months where you just destroy it and pocket a bunch of cash. And then, you know, all of a sudden, boom, it's drought season again. So what you have to do, and people within your industry or do similar jobs like you, listen, traders down at the Merck, you know, have great, you know, have great months, make a couple hundred grand a month, and bam, you know, there goes $300,000 because they had a bad trade. You've got to build up a big enough cushion there that if you go 6 months or a year, you've got rent built up to where that rent is taken care of.
So I just take that rent and multiply it by like 12 and like, do I have that just in case?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Or 8, where you've got a cushion to feel like, hey, if something happens and, listen, we get blasted with a snowstorm and you can't get out and you miss a gig.
Yeah.
Okay, or you got out and you're trying to get back and we got blasted with the snowstorm and you got to spend $400, $500, $600, $700 in the town that you're in with no job planned because you can't get out of town and you need a place to stay.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you've got to plan for all of these type of contingencies because if you don't, guess what? Where does it go? On your credit card.
Yeah.
That just went up another quarter of a point.
How does he know about our deepest, darkest fears so very well?
If you had to pick between dog food and cat food as a human.
Well,
no, that's really helpful. Because the problem is like I'm looking for a new apartment and I've always just lived with roommates, so it was dirt cheap. But now I'm moving out and I'm like, well, what do I do so I don't move back to my parents as roommates?
You got to find roommates that you know that forget about if you like them that like you and you know that'll cut your break if you have a bad couple of months and that'll fill the hole for you.
How do you get people tricky to like you, David?
All right, we have to take a break. David, one, have money in the bank. 312-981-7200. We have time for one more question from our listeners. We are on the line with David Hochberg for Thrifty Thursday. I almost feel like it's Tough Love Thrifty Thursday. More after this on 720. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It is Thrifty Thursday with Tough Love. Tough Lover? That doesn't sound right. That sounds a little bit naughty. Hi, David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage. Actually, we didn't get to a question that Michael Palasek had about why is it better to pay your credit cards every month?
Yeah, or every week.
Every week, I mean.
I get like the month thing, but is it just so you keep track? It's easier to keep track of your expenses?
No, because here's how your credit report works. Your credit report works based on the outstanding balance.
Okay.
Versus your availability, right? So if you have a $10,000 limit, for example, and you have a $5,000 balance, you're at 50% capacity. That's not good.
Okay.
The credit agencies like the balances to be under 25% capacity.
They want you to be able to spend a lot of money.
Well, it's not so much that they want you to spend. Well, they want you to spend a lot of money and only pay the minimum so they can blast the crap out of you in interest rate payments all the time.
Gotcha. So your credit's better if you pay it every week because it keeps that below 25%.
You got it because your credit utilization always looks good. So I always recommend to people to use their credit cards for all of their expenses because who wants to be carrying around cash nowadays, right? Yeah. But only put on your credit card, obviously, what you have. Listen, in a utopia world here, utopian world, you only put on your credit card what you have in your bank statement that you could afford.
Yeah.
And again, we've talked about this, you know, on other shows. I'm not that naive to realize that, you know, people don't make enough money and then an emergency comes up, flat tire, they need to put $200, $300, $400 in a tire. An air conditioner goes out or a heater goes out. Your car breaks down. Your kid gets sick. You know, something happens.
Or you have to run to a commercial. Hold on one second. Let me make sure I get this paid for. One second, Dave. We'll wrap up in a second. More after this on 720 WGN.
You know, a superstar kid making a difference in their community. Nominate them to be the All-State Kid of the Week. They can be recognized on the Steve Cochran Show. I know him. And have the chance to win great prizes. Details at WGNRadio.com/contests.
The best kept secret for luxury and performance, Jaguar. The best kept secret to obtain an approved certified pre-owned Jaguar, Howard Orloff Jaguar. Did you know Howard Orloff Jaguar has been proudly serving Chicagoland for over 55 years? And did you know at Howard Orloff you can get 0.9% APR financing on select 2012 to 2016 approved certified pre-owned Jaguar models? And did you know right now you can drive a 2013 approved certified pre-owned Jaguar XF for only $29,995? And did you know approved certified?
You're listening pretty late. We've been talking to David Hochberg, and I think it's actually turned into let's help Michael Palasek out as well.
That's the main reason.
David, Michael just mentioned something off the air that he'd gone on tour and knew he was going to make money eventually.
Yeah.
So he maxed out his credit cards like double the limit.
And they didn't stop me. They just let me keep doing
it. Tell him why that's not a good idea, please.
Yeah. Well, number one, your credit score probably dropped 50 to 100 points because you're fully maxed out.
Okay.
Number two,
does it go back up when you pay it off?
Yes, it goes back up when you pay it off. That's why you want to pay it off weekly.
Gotcha.
Because if you jack it up, listen, if you have a $1,000 limit on your credit card and you always get to the end of the month and there's $1,000 on there, it's very simple. You're charging $250 a week.
Yeah.
All right. So $1,000 limit with $1,000 balance, that's bad for your credit.
Gotcha.
If you have $250 charged per week and you pay it off every Friday, why Friday? Because that's when people typically get paid.
Yeah.
And people remember Fridays because it's a great day. So you pay it off on Friday, you knock it down to zero. Then you go to the next week, you charge another $250. And so that way your balances never go over 250.
That's great.
And your credit profile looks strong. And your credit scores go up.
Gotcha.
Keep it strong.
Yeah.
Keep it strong. I have more questions for David. We're going to wait till next week. David, I want to thank you. I'm actually pulling up my credit card accounts right now and paying them on my phone.
That looks like Chase.
It just became Friday. So I decided to pay. That's what we should do every Thursday night when we finish our segment with David Hochberg. Yes. If you're listening, we all pay our credit card
bills
together.
And eat free Lululemon's pizza. Right?
I'm doing a balance transfer as we speak.
David, where can people find your podcast and reach out to you for more information?
It's very simple. Go to WGNDavid.com, or you can call me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 312-751-1333, 312-751-1333. And as always, thank you for giving me the opportunity to help your listeners.
Oh, please. We appreciate it so much. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
A bird with a word came to me, the sweetness of a honeycomb tree. And now I look what's taking over me, couldn't fake it if I wanted to. I had to wake up just to make it through. I got my patience and I'm making do.
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis, who joins us on Thursdays. And we've rotated in. Senator Katowski is on vacation. And as we know, he's irreplaceable, but we've gone ahead and replaced him with two people.
Yeah.
With two comedians. It takes two to replace Senator Dan Katowski. Joining us in studio is comedian Michael Palasek and comedian James Vickery. They're in town for various gigs and reasons.
Yeah.
Michael is at the Zanies on Wells in Old Town.
Through Sunday.
So you've got two chances tonight on Friday, two shows, 8:30 and 10:30, and then three shows Saturday, 7, 9, and 11:15, and another show on Sunday at 8:30. Go to zanies.com for all the shows. And information, you recognize him as a comedian who has performed. James, I feel so bad. Like, both of us were like, oh, yeah, go ahead and just read his resume. This is, Tonight Show with David Letterman. Tonight Show with Jay Leno, The Late Show with David Letterman, The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, Conan O'Brien. He's been one of the finalists on Last Comic Standing, his own half-hour comedy special on Comedy Central. I've watched him like from the beginning of his career, Scott. Yeah. So I'm fine. I'm totally fine. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Good for you.
Yay. He's an incredibly dedicated writer and comedian. Has great sensibilities.
Thanks.
And James and I just like watching him.
That's absolutely true. That's why I'm here.
That's it. James, you're leaving. Are you leaving on Sunday to go back to L.A.?
I am. Well, I'm Las Vegas.
Are you going to Vegas?
I'm doing a show Saturday night at the Stratosphere.
Excellent.
I love the Stratosphere. The ride at the top?
Oh, you know, I actually haven't been inside. I've heard about the ride, though.
It's on the top of a skyscraper?
Yeah, so there's a roller coaster, and all it does is just goes down, and you lean over the end.
No.
And that's when it takes you back up and does it again.
I'm not doing it.
No.
You have to.
No.
I'm definitely afraid of
No, you don't have, but it's like, it's so fun, and you have to.
No.
You have to.
Hey, you guys, am I seeing things, or is that Mike Myers on one of the late shows?
It is Mike Myers.
Wow.
Is he wearing a body suit?
Is it Seth Myers? He's on Seth Meyers show?
Yep. Is he wearing a Myers and Myers?
Wait, this is very. It's funny because he's a little bit bigger than he used to be.
Well, he's wearing a sweater too.
But he looks younger than he did 20
years
ago. He
does. He looks like a younger.
He looks very young. It's disturbing because I haven't seen him in so long. He seemed to have disappeared. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is great radio.
Watching television radio.
Turn on. Yeah.
Seth Meyers, 312-981-7200. Doesn't he look younger than he did 20 years ago?
It's like a choice.
Cherubic, almost.
Is that the haircut?
Do you have to make a choice? Like, do I gain weight and look younger? Or
In the words of April Macy, she said that, you know, because, you know, men prefer women who look younger and women who are skinny, right?
Right.
So she's like, but if you're bigger, if you put on a little weight, your face, it stretches out the wrinkles.
Yeah.
But then your ass gets bigger. So she's like, you have to decide between your ass and your face.
Yeah.
So that's... That's April
call.
Macy's.
She's so wise. I've never heard it broken down like that. Like I feel for women.
That's really, it's a little bit sad. She also talks about her shoe collection, and yet she owns no property. She was talking about, you know, most of the world land is owned by men. Women own tiny portion of the land in the world is owned by women.
I didn't know that.
She used to have a really nice apartment by the ocean, though.
Did she really?
Did she own it, though?
But did she own it?
I don't know. I mean, I think they rented it.
Yeah,
her and her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you should see how that rent is.
No, I know.
The rent in L.A. is ridiculous.
Well, it's all over the place. Like, the places I look at that are like, oh, wow, that's a great deal. Then I get there, I'm like, oh, that's why it's a great deal.
We got
there was a
lucky.
Homicide over here.
He lives in a great building.
Great building, I know. Good price.
Marmont, is that where it is?
Larchmont.
I've heard it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Larchmont.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a really gorgeous apartment.
I'm sure it is.
Super lucky.
It's got one of those cool like LA courtyards. You know?
Oh no way! So it's the old style.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Fountain. No,
I was like bailing my bathroom out of water this weekend. That's where we're at.
We are going to talk about things that you've never owned or done. Mm-hmm. Mary Schmeek, inspired by the recent conversations regarding whether or not Donald Trump was wiretapped, and the response from Kellyanne Conway was, well, you know, Barack Obama is listening through the microwaves.
Which is true.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She Kellyanne Conway basically said that mm-hmm. your microwave could be watching you.
Right.
Which, I mean, you know, I don't know how she makes her hot pockets
right.
and what's going through her mind as she's waiting for that to heat up.
That's
you
true.
Know?
He's watched me eat some disgusting stuff
yeah.
late at night.
You couldn't wait? You couldn't wait
right,
to
exactly.
cool off?
Really?
Yeah.
This is what you're using Obamacare for?
Yeah.
To heal your top of your mouth?
You did not stir halfway. You couldn't just stir it halfway?
You're killing the nutrients.
It's not going to be evenly warmed. We have a piece that I've shared with my guests in the studio. You can go to the ChicagoTribune.com if you haven't read Mary Schmeek's piece today on something. It occurred to her as people were talking about.
This was a real thing. Like, she thought microwave meant.
Kellyanne Conway?
I just heard about
this. No, this is weird. The story gets weirder as so many things with the Trump administration do. 2 days later, she says, I was kidding.
Right.
Yes. But was she kidding
funny.
In quotation marks?
I don't know if they did the air quotes or not, but it's like they don't know their president. They're in the White House. It's like they're still surprised.
You know what? It's like improv, right? They're improvising.
Exactly.
Everything is yes and.
Yeah, there are no mistakes.
Exciting.
There are no mistakes.
And that's kind of true. There's not a lot we can do. There's not a lot.
As the nuclear missiles are flying.
Well, they refuse to walk anything back, right? Which is interesting.
Yeah.
But this, so the.
But
you
Mary Schmeek.
The conversation about microwaves triggered a thought and a piece mm-hmm. by Mary Schmeek, as she often is inclined to do. Oh, you know, speaking of microwaves, is that the voice you think of her writing?
She's
in?
Never sure. owned.
Yes. Yeah. She's never owned a microwave.
I know, which is odd.
Which is odd. So 312-981-7200, this is kind of created a conversation amongst her, you know, the readers of her column, as well as here in the studio. We all have something that we've never done. I'm still looking for mine, Scott, by the way.
Really?
Oh, really?
I don't think I have.
I have a list here.
You have a list of things that are common that you, people go, oh, my God, you've never owned this or you've never done that.
Common is going to be up for debate.
312-981-7200. What is something that you've never owned or done that people say, oh, my God, I can't believe that? So 312-981-7200. The most ridiculous, the most surprising one will win a gift certificate to Lou Malnati's. LouMalnati's.com for the best pizza.
Do we start and grease the skids?
Yes, grease the skids. Is that one of the things?
Sure.
Yes.
I've never greased a skid in my whole life. I've never bought a coat.
You've never bought a coat?
No, I'm married. And I was pretty much born married. And so, no, I've never bought myself a coat, ever.
But have people given you coats?
Yes.
So you've never bought a coat, but you've owned a coat.
I've owned one. I just never bought one.
But you've never shopped for a coat.
No, they just show up in the closet. It's
so you never like went and tried one on?
No.
Wow.
They just show up.
You haven't lived, man.
Yeah.
No,
I'm going to take you to Marshall's and get all crazy
no.
up in
Burlington,
there.
Burlington, the coat factory.
Yeah. It's like it's right in the name.
No, it's like magic in the entry hall closet every once in a while. There's a new coat.
See, I don't have a – I've never done something. I have something that people are surprised that I still have. I have a television from 2000, and it's a deep tube television. Yeah. It's my 32-inch deep tube television that I've never replaced. So that's a 17-year-old TV.
Those are really good for if someone has like a classic Nintendo. They work a lot better on the tubes.
Really?
Yeah. So
that's why I kept it.
Yes.
Yeah, just for that reason.
A lot of punch out.
We're going crazy with Mario Kart up in my house. Let me tell you something.
Something I have never done is I have never been to a strip club.
Oh.
Yeah, what time is VIP's?
I was going to say we could change that.
That's not the point.
My challenge accepted. As a comedian, you've never, I mean,
yeah, really?
It sort of goes hand in hand. Like, I'm sure you've been in towns.
It's very similar, yeah.
I was in Aberdeen, South Dakota, performing at the Holiday Inn in Aberdeen. Have you ever done any Ken Muller's runs?
No.
No, so it was, so they're not allowed to expose the nipple area. So instead of getting pasties, and they used black light there too. That was, it was obviously a dive, but they used, Band-Aids. So it was just like X marks.
That's so hot.
But under the black lights. Do you want to know the name of the place? Do you have something you've never done?
I've never been camping. I don't know.
Yeah, that counts. That definitely counts. Yeah.
I've never shot a gun.
Ooh. Right.
I've never been skiing or snowboarding, any sort
Save
of
Save your list. You do have a list.
I have a list. I'm telling you.
Hold on. Let's come back from the list. Hold on. Shot a gun. Camping. I just want to see if I have any of these. What was the other one? Shot a gun.
Skiing or snowboarding. Any winter sport.
Okay. Let's finish James's list when we come back.
Never been to Canada.
Okay.
What?
Calm down.
312-981-7200. Colin, tell us what you've never owned that people are always surprised by. John, your call will be first when we come back on 720 W. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian James Vickery, comedian Michael Palasak, and political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. And there is a piece in today's Chicago Tribune by Mary Schmeek. She was inspired by the recent sort of speculation by Kellyanne Conway that perhaps your microwave is watching you. And I guess that made Mary feel fine because she has never, ever owned a microwave in her entire life.
Huh.
And I was reading another piece. It actually made me think of something I read earlier this week, that the British and Australians are surprised that we don't have tea kettles, electric tea kettles.
Oh, and I have one.
You have an electric tea kettle?
Yeah.
I have one too.
What?
Well, it just warms up the water on its own?
That's it. That's all it does. You plug it in. But apparently the wattage in Australia and England
is
higher.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so theirs is faster. Why don't you just use your stovetop kettle?
That was my feeling.
This is pretty fast. It does a good job. I like
faster
it.
Than filling up a tea kettle?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Would that be like a good birthday gift for a girlfriend?
Yes.
Oh, it'd be great.
Perfect.
But like something kind of unique,
and an assortment
right?
of teas. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Does she like teas?
Yeah, she drinks tea every day.
Electric tea kettle.
Yeah.
And there got to be some kind of cute, quaint ones.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, get like an old-fashioned looking one, but it's really not.
This is great.
No, get her an old one with like frayed wires.
I just know how you like old stuff. I found this in the garbage.
We call it Sparky.
It's vintage.
Oh, wow.
So 312-981-7200, because for Mary Schmeek, once she realized that you know, not owning a microwave kind of made her feel a little bit weird, a little bit different than everybody else, she wanted to know, what common thing have you never done or owned? And when she mentioned that she never owned a microwave, people were surprised, yeah, and basically, you know, questioned her her status as a human being, if not just as a
I have a couple more on my list.
Okay, let's see if we challenge. So shooting a gun, I would say, is not necessarily.
No, that's not that common.
Like people who carry guns that never shoot them.
I agree with that.
That's a good.
Yeah, and I can't decide if that's because, you know, if you say you're from Chicago, then the assumption is you should have shot.
Should have.
Shot
right, like right. Something's gone wrong.
How do you get to work every morning?
30% of people in America own a gun, so you're in the majority.
Yeah. I have, in fact, though, shot a gun. I've shot many.
So have I.
I enjoy it.
But in case anybody's following her tonight, I've shot many guns.
many guns. I've never changed a diaper.
Okay.
Yeah.
And without being childless. That's a weird
way to
put
it. Child.
Sans child.
And I'm the youngest in my family.
Yeah, to be fair, that's if you, like I said, if you had six kids, then you'd be kind of a jerk. Then,
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Right. Someone else has always done that.
Or very smart. Really good at getting out of chores.
Feels a weird part. I need to change a diaper.
312-981-7200. Is
your
baby awake?
Do you need your diaper? James Vicker will come over.
Anybody's waking up in the middle of the night to change a diaper. James is on the...
And if you have a gun to shoot, we could do it all at the same night.
But we mean a baby's diaper. We're not taking those kinds of calls tonight, by
exactly.
the way.
Yeah, it has to be a baby.
Yes, please.
I've never smoked a cigarette.
Well,
what?
That's awesome.
Wait. What?
Swear.
Did you not have peers to pressure you?
Oh,
wait, what?
Never smoked a cigarette.
That's good, right? Because otherwise you get
addicted. You're looking at me like you've seen me do it. I haven't.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. You sleaze?
Lease is like...
No,
where are my cools?
I would assume that Michael Palasek also has never
I've
smoked
never
a
smoked
cigarette.
My parents smoked and I had asthma, so I...
Both my parents smoked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Scott, have you ever smoked a cigarette?
Yes.
You don't have to.
Gotcha.
How do you write those things?
I haven't smoked one in 3.5 years, but yes.
Excellent.
Yes. That's great.
Penny, have you?
What's your next thing? I don't. I've never been a smoker, but I've enjoyed a cigarette. Yes.
I mean, most people, in the past. I feel like that falls into the
economy. Don't smoke, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't be a fool. Stay in school.
Yeah.
Also, don't shoot a gun.
Yeah.
Okay. Change diapers.
So far, you're an upstanding citizen. Yes, you're bragging about it on the
That's excellent.
hold your list. Hold your
list. I haven't robbed anybody.
I've never not been great.
James, hold your list. We're going to continue. We're going to come back to how James is a freak when we come back. First, we want to check in with Lance. No, I want to take one of my listeners. We have Lance on the line. Lance has something to tell us that he's never done. Hey, Lance, what's yours? Or owned?
You know, I'm a sci-fi junkie. I love all my Battlestar Galactica movies and my Star Trek movies. And my up until recently, I used to watch all the zombie movies and my alien. I love sci-fi.
Yeah.
But I have never, since the 1970s, seen any Star Wars movies.
Good God,
one.
Well, I actually can understand that because the fact that he said he likes sci-fi, Star Wars is not a sci-fi series. It's a fantasy series, and people who love sci-fi.
I like fantasy, too. Oh. I like fantasy.
Then
I
you have no excuse.
Patty, I'm really impressed that you know the difference between that. You don't look like a person.
Right.
Who knows the difference to that?
Hold on, Lance. Yes.
I've only seen the first one, Lance, and which also seems odd.
The only, like, New Hope?
Not. Only
Lance,
the first Star Wars.
Lance, do you have a desire to see it, or do you feel like now that it's been...
Is that what it's called?
I'm sorry. No, let's stay with one conversation.
James has never talked over people.
Let's go back to Lance, who's on the air with us.
Well,
yes.
Well, they just never really interest me at all.
So you saw the first three.
I've never seen any of them.
Oh, I thought you said since the 70s.
This is what happens when we don't listen, Michael.
I've never seen the first one. I've never seen the last one.
Wow.
And they just never, ever caught my attention. Never.
Wow.
And you know, our regular guest on Friday nights, Ken J. Kubowski, also has never seen any of the Star Wars movies. We may have to have you guys hang out and watch them.
Yeah.
How do you not
Lance is not in. He's not buying that at all.
I know. That was like a good moment for me.
Lance, we're gonna write down your information and see if yours is the weirdest one of them all. So hold on the line, and Lisa's gonna take your email address because we are taking your things you've never done or owned that you think makes you different from everybody else.
And we will check.
We're gonna go into his mind.
How do you test whether or not somebody's done something?
It is weird. Through their microwave.
Let's take a break here, and we will take Ruth and Kathy after the news. This is Chicago's very own. More after this on 720. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is the political cartoonist with Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis, comedian Michael Palsack, who is appearing at Zanies on Wells through Sunday. Go to zanies.com for ticket information. He's one of the best comics in the country, and also another great comic, one of the best in the country, is James Vickery. He and I will be performing for the Elmhurst Fire Department at the end of April together, as a matter of fact. A couple of other shows coming up. I'm going to be performing down in Springfield, and I'm trying to figure out if I want to roast them or not, because I'm almost too angry to make fun of them. So yeah. We'll see.
What's the situation? What do you?
It's a fundraiser for the for scholarships. So it'll be very fun.
Are elected officials going to be there?
Yes.
It's funny you say the angry thing, because I was listening to John Fugel saying has a show on Sirius, and he was saying that like when you come from a place that's very emotional, you're not as strong as you are when you're like just like
yes,
this is what it is, and this is what it is. So yeah. It's almost. That's smart. Like if it's too close.
Too close.
It might not be funny.
I know.
If I stand up there and go, you guys suck. Yeah.
That's not funny.
Message from Chicago. 312-981-7200 to join our conversation anytime. In today's Chicago Tribune, Mary Schmeek was writing about how she has never, ever owned a microwave. And it struck her that when she tells people that, it kind of feels like it sets her apart, makes her weird. She's also never recorded anything on a VCR, and she's never watched an episode of Game of Thrones. She's never had a martini. Gosh, woman, live a little bit. Yeah. So we are asking, what have you never done that makes you feel a little bit different? Ruth, what have you never done or owned?
I have wanted for probably almost 30 years to get a Starbucks. And I went this last January. I decided that I was going to get a Starbucks, and I wanted the seasonal fruit cake. So I went over to Gurney Mills, and they didn't have them. They stopped making them. It was at the beginning of the year, January. So I'm talking about the whole entire existence of Starbucks. I've never had a Starbucks.
There's a lot of questions.
We all have so many questions.
I also do not pay any bills online.
Okay.
I like getting stamps.
Yeah.
And I never have ordered anything online, and I refuse to do it because it's a patriotic thing.
Well, I think that it makes sense. I think that, you know, it's become very easy to, not order things online? You think I'm crazy? What?
Never ordered anything online, I shop a lot. Carson's, Macy's. I shop everywhere. I consider myself just the ultimate savvy shopper.
Well, it's also because you probably like talking to someone, working with another human being when you're making a choice and making your payment. You know that you're, you know, interacting with humans. You're touching the items, trying them on.
I like seeing the sale papers. I like finding out what's on sale. I like going for specials. And, yeah, I like the jobs that are there.
And you like
they create those jobs.
And I'm guessing that you're also going to be out there this weekend for the Yellow Dot Sale. There's the Yellow Dot Sale at Carson's.
It was Goodwill. I think it was Goodwill today.
Oh, was it today? Well, I missed the Goodwill one.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you bring in a bag.
I'm pretty sure it was today, but I have a real bad flu, so.
Oh, no.
That's why I didn't do that. Yeah.
See, this is where shopping online would have come in handy when you're not feeling well.
I know. But guess what? I'll have money left over the next time.
Yeah, you're going to pay your credit card bill every week.
Hold on a second, Ruth. We all have, I think.
I have a credit card.
Oh, wait.
You led.
That's number one.
With Starbucks cake?
Stop.
I haven't had a credit card in 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah, Ruth, that's going to, you know what, you may be in the lead right now, and you buried it.
Oh. So. Also, I've never been outside.
And you know what? The only reason why I had a credit card 40 years ago is because I was married then, and it was his credit card. I haven't had a credit card.
Yeah, no. Ruth, I think that when you tell people you've never done something, I'm guessing that I've never had a credit card is going to be the one that surprised them. Not having Starbucks, I can kind of go, yeah, I could see not wanting that. I could see wanting to deal with a real person in a store and not shop online. I could see wanting to go into the bank or mail it. But when you say you've never had a credit card, that's going to be the kicker right there. But can we go back for a second, Ruth, to Starbucks? Let's put ourselves – you've gone to the Starbucks at the holiday season, right?
Yeah, but they stopped. They were no longer selling it.
Selling the one particular one.
You know that Starbucks' main thing is coffee.
But she wanted the fruitcake flavored coffee. Was that?
Oh, is that what it was? It was the fruitcake flavored coffee?
Yeah, it was a special that came out, and I finally decided that was what was worth my money. I finally decided that they had dangled a carrot, you know, in front of me. And that this was the one that I was going to put the money out for. And so you can't imagine the disappointment, though, because I after such a long, long time of never wanting to pop for that and then deciding, I'm making the jump. I'm taking a big leap.
I've never heard of the fruitcake flavored coffee at Starbucks. I will say this. I really wanted to try the butterscotch one, but I think that one's gone, too. They had butterscotch, Ruth.
Yeah, never heard that one, yeah.
Yeah, the butterscotch was supposed to be really, really good.
By the way, it's a fruitcake frappuccino.
Fruitcake frappuccino is the one that Ruth was looking for at the Starbucks. Huh. Ruth, do you happen to have an email address?
No, I don't.
Okay. Oh, my God!
I know, Patty.
Ruth?
Okay.
Ruth, have you ever had
jumping off a diving board.
Yes. No, it's good. These
have
are
you
all
jumped off a diving board before?
Yeah.
No.
Me neither.
Ruth, have you ever had a Lou Malnati's pizza?
No.
Okay. Oh, hold great. On the line. You do have a mailing address, I'm guessing, yes?
We're sending you an email address and a Lou Malnati's pizza.
We're actually going to just register you for an email address. No. Hold on the line because Lisa's – I feel like we've opened – we've opened up a whole world of things. But you're not unique. We're laughing at you as though like – but it's strange to us.
I know. I understand.
No, I think it's smart. You're not distracted. It's like you're like Walden Pond.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I have a philosophy. I actually believe that you can create things and slow things down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, if you don't want the world to travel as fast as it's traveling, then you have to make your own little creativity niche to slow it down.
Yeah. You control your own.
It doesn't run away. It doesn't run away from you.
You should have a blog.
You know what Ruth does do? She listens to WGN Radio.
Exactly.
I love that, Ruth. I look forward to hearing from you again, okay? Let me know if you do end up going to Starbucks. Hold on the line because Lisa's going to take your information. We're going to send you a gift card to Lou Malnati's. We'd like you to – you know what? I want you to try Lou Malnati's pizza, or anything that they – you don't have to have deep dish if you don't want that. They have thin crust. They've got salads. They've got other entrees. But call us after you have some Lou's because I want to know what you thought.
Okay.
All right. Do you mind? Thank you so much, Ruth. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Night. Hold
Thank
on for
you.
Lise. Kathy has one as well.
Yeah, this one.
Hi, Kathy. How are you doing tonight?
Hi. I love this show.
Oh, thank you, Kathy.
I mean, it always makes me laugh. Okay. I've never owned a cell phone.
Have you thought, have you ever wanted to? Did it ever cross your mind, like, maybe I should get one of those? But are you at the point now where you're like, I'm fine without it?
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've just thought about it just like to have it for an emergency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was
so what's your emergency plan? Shouting?
You know, Kathy, they still sell like flip phones, like just a basic phone that has like even like a button on it that is just for 911.
Yeah.
Patty, does your mom have a cell phone?
She has an iPhone, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm just saying. But Kathy, no, they do. They have and I don't know how much the fee is a month, but it really is just for 911. So it's just like one button. So that if you're in an emergency, you just press the button.
For
simple things. Just something to think about.
So you're on a landline right now, Kathy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very clear.
It is.
Yeah, see, it's better than the cell phone.
It's true. Better for your brain. If I could get rid of my cell phone, I think that would be so fun.
Me too.
She holds up
one
her
of your three
phones.
Yeah, I have three phones. I should send one to Kathy. Kathy, have a great night. Thank you so much for joining us, okay?
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. Always good to hear from you. Look forward to hearing from you again.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Let's check in with Diane before we take a break. Oh, 1 second. Let me do this. Hi, Diane. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
I love yours.
Oh, thank you, Diane. Love you. I love Kathy, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've never done marijuana. Mm-hmm. My younger son does it still, and he's 40.
I could tell by the way you say does
done
it.
Marijuana.
Yeah, I've never tried it, and I won't do it. And somebody offered me a line of cocaine back when I was 45, and I told him no. I said, I'm 45. Why would I try it now?
I've never tried cocaine either.
Me neither, actually.
Ever.
No, and I
that was
I
on
said,
my list.
Why would I screw up my life now? I'm 45. Right. I'm not going to screw anything up.
Although there's an argument to be made to why not now?
No, but Diane.
Her makes you more productive.
Diane is saying,
you don't want Starbucks.
Diane is saying, I made it through all the peer pressure years. Yeah. I've made it for the last 45 years without it. What's it going to do for me now?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Diane.
Yeah.
I think you should try marijuana, though. Do it.
No. Unless my doctor says maybe it might be better than Vicodin.
There right. you go.
No, I'm Dr. Vickery, and I'm saying it's better.
Michael, have you ever tried marijuana?
Is my mom listening?
No. Diane, thank you so much for calling. I'm so glad you made it past all the peer pressure and pushed through and That's said true. No at 45. You have a strong will, my friend.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Diane. Have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. 312-981-7200. Call and let us know something that you've never done that people make you feel a little bit weird, makes you feel a little different. 312-981-7200. Valerie, when we come back, we are taking your call first. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis, comedian Michael Palasak, who's appearing at the Zanies on Wells. Go to zanies.com to find out about his showtimes tonight through Sunday. We also have comedian James Vickery, who is hanging out in town and be performing in Vegas at the Stratosphere.
I will, yeah.
Very mm-hmm. cool.
And going on that roller coaster.
No, he's not.
No, I will not be.
Make a video.
That's something that we can say on our list.
I want to see you cry.
Which I really would.
I'm so scared.
I've never cried on a roller coaster. We are talking about Mary Schmeek's piece in the Chicago Tribune today, where she talks about how she's never owned a microwave, has never watched an episode of Game of Thrones. She's never recorded anything on a VCR. Actually, here's another one. She's traveled around the world, but she's never been inside an IKEA. So we're wondering, what have you never owned or never done that kind of makes you feel a little different, a little weird when you tell your friends? Joining us on the line next is Valerie. Valerie, what have you never owned or done that makes you feel a little different?
Hi, Betty. Hi. I don't have cable. I never had.
Never.
Never. And now you're at the point now where you kind of don't. Now it's back at the point where you don't even need
right.
it. Do you ever watch anything right. live stream?
No. Don't have a computer either.
Oh.
I know. No computer, no laptop.
I think Ruth has a computer.
Yeah. I
like. Phone. It's a flip phone.
You have a flip phone. Okay, so you do have a cell phone, but you don't have mm-hmm. cable and you don't own a computer. Can we ask what prevents, you know, you hear people getting cable? Because for me, I didn't have cable until I left the house when I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. Everybody I knew had HBO and mm-hmm. knew about all, like MTV. I never watched MTV until I went to college.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, this is cool. And now it's become part of what you own or what you have, a service that you have. What at what point were you like, nope, not for me. I just don't want that. Just all the whole time?
The way that I worked, I didn't watch television that much, so I didn't miss it.
Okay.
So that was okay. And then when I would go visit friends, I was like, look at all this television. Look at all these channels. I was up watching television all night. But still, when I got home, it was still, you know, maybe 2 hours a day. So most of that, you know, I'm not watching soap operas during the day. I'm not watching shows at night. Yeah. But when people say Game of Thrones, have you seen Game of Thrones? And then I say, well, no, because I don't have
HBO.
Television.
Yeah. You don't have a television? Wait, do you not have a
Well, not anymore, because I came back from the television that I had when they made it into that converter box.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so then that converter box pooped out, so now my television is basically a monitor.
Oh, no.
Well, you can go ahead and get rid of that. You could probably...
It'll be good for an old-school Nintendo if you have one of those.
You put that
That's true. If you ever have one of those, you keep it for that. Because
no games either.
No,
so I binge-watch, like, go to the library, I rent, you know, have cards. That's how I see those shows.
What do you do for a job that doesn't let you enjoy?
I work at manufacturing, so I work, you know, like late-hour shift. Like, right now, I just got off work.
Oh, gotcha.
So what are you listening?
I'm going to go to sleep.
She listens to the radio. What's really important about all these people that are calling is
exactly
they listen to WGN radio, which puts them head and shoulders above so many people in the world.
It sounds like a very peaceful life.
I still use a transistor radio. I love it.
Oh, so do I. Mm-hmm. I have an LED radio in my kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, nice.
My first car, the radio didn't work, so I put like a boombox in it, and I was traveled on the road.
Valerie, can you hold on the line and give Lise your email address in case you I'm making a list. We gave one way to Ruth, but we also now we still have no Star Wars. Ruth had never had. Oh no, Ruth, we gave her one. Lance never watched a Star Wars, and you have never had cable, and you don't own a computer. So hold on and just give your email to Lise in case you win a Lee Mel Nye's gift card.
Okay, great. Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you, Valerie. Next on the line, I want to go to is it Janice? Hi, yes. Janice. How are you doing?
Oh, fine. Having fun listening to you.
Oh, I appreciate it. Where are you calling from?
Steger, Illinois.
Excellent. Whereabouts is Steger, Illinois?
South of you guys, Chicago Heights, Park Forest.
Okay. All right.
Feature. I'm 78 years old, and I've never had a cup of coffee.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, are you a Mormon? Or I mean, seriously, no, is there a religious reason?
Hold on. What was that?
I said I'd take a drink, but not a martini. I haven't had a martini either.
Yeah, martinis.
And I have never had any kind of computer or, and I don't even know what they call half of the stuff. kids all have them, but I don't.
And when you tell people you've never had, because everywhere you go, Janice, you walk into someone's house and they go, can I get you some coffee? Right? Can I put
I'll take water. Thank you.
Yeah. Wow.
And was there a reason behind it? Was it health-wise?
Parents drank it all the time. And I just decided I wasn't going to get addicted to the coffee.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's just like marijuana. I've never tried that either.
Oh.
Kids
they go great together.
It.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll say sometimes, you know, well, why don't you just take a puff? Just get out of my house.
Janice isn't having any of that.
Right.
No. Janice, do you have an email address?
I don't have a computer.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, if you don't have
a
computer.
Yeah, but what about your iPhone? You can just check your email.
She does not have an iPhone. Do you have...
I don't have any of that stuff.
Yeah. No cell phone.
I agree. I pay my bills by mail.
Yeah. Do you buy...
Then I know they get there.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. Do you buy the Forever stamps so that you have a whole stack?
Oh, cool. Yes. Definitely.
You got to. Mm-hmm. I buy the Forever... What are you laughing at us for, Scott? I buy the Forever stamps, too.
What's the Forever stamp concept?
Like, you can buy it at the price it is now.
Yeah, you lock it in.
And then you can use it because the price goes up regularly.
So people just buy the other ones because of the cool logos and stuff?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Sometimes.
Designs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pick them out the kind you want to. There's some of them are really pretty.
Do you go to the post office or do you drop it off at the mailbox?
Well, I used to go to the post office, but I can't drive anymore.
Oh.
So now I Snailman and I are friends. So.
Oh, that helps.
That's good,
fill out a form that they have, and
he delivers
the 20 stamps and the next day.
Mm-hmm.
What's your credit card situation?
That I have.
Okay.
There you go. And David Hochberg.
Just one, though.
David Hochberg would be very pleased with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just one. It's a bank card.
There you go.
That's great.
Well, thank you, Janice. It was great to hear from you in Steger, Illinois.
Okay. Have a nice day.
You too. We'll talk to you again soon. We had a listener hang up, didn't we? At least I wanted Bill, who said he never used deodorant before.
Oh, what?
I know.
Why did he hang up?
I asked him if he was married ever, and he said he was at one point.
Well, I want to know why Bill.
Yeah.
Bill, call back
in.
Bill, call back. I'm curious about this. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry, how are you doing? Hi, Jerry. Jerry.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey. Hi, it's me.
Where are you calling from?
Woodstock, Illinois.
Oh, we love Woodstock, Illinois.
I love Woodstock.
It's a great place. What have you never done or owned?
I've never met a gay person.
You've never met a. Are you? How do you know?
Have, yeah. Yeah, I think you have.
Yeah. How would I know?
Yes.
I don't know. How would I know?
Right.
Yeah.
How would I know?
Exactly.
I don't know.
You don't know
I've
that you
never
you've...
owned a dishwasher. That's why I'm up so late listening to you guys.
Are you doing the dishes? Oh, I love that. Do you know, Jerry? Are you do you soak the dishes or do you try to clean them as soon as they get dirty?
Well, I have a funny way of doing dishes. I do soak them, but when I start doing my yard work, I can't keep up with the dishes. So this sounds terrible, but I put them in a box until I can get to them and put them on the kitchen floor. I rinse them off and put them in a box until I can get to them, because otherwise, you know, I will never get outside.
And so you put them in the box so they're not cluttering up the kitchen counter in case you need to come back and do something
right.
in the kitchen.
Yeah, I hate a dirty sink, so I don't like looking at dishes in the dirty dishes in the sink, so I put them in a box and cover them up with a towel until I get to them. But I do try to keep up with the silverware because it comes to the point where we have to eat nothing but finger food.
Yeah, no kidding. You gotta keep that. Gotta keep up with the silverware. Jerry, hold on the line.
Right.
Do you have an email address that Lise can take?
Yeah.
Excellent. Hold on. Yes?
Yeah. It's Samadris.
Hold on a second. Yeah. Lise will take that off the air so that we don't have everyone emailing you and about other things. Jerry, have a great night. We're going to take Ross and Steve when we come back. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. We are still taking your calls, 312-981-7200. If there's something that you've never done or owned that you kind of feel a little bit different, you know, when you tell your peeps, your friends and family, and they find out you've never owned a dishwasher or never had a cell phone or never tried coffee, does it make you feel a little weird? More after our news on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian James Vickery, who is leaving us for Las Vegas to perform at the Stratosphere. We have political cartoonist Scott Stantis, who you can find everything he does at chicagotribune.com/Stantis.
And I'm just sticking around.
You do work every single day. You're telling us about your deadlines and everything. Comedian Michael Palasak, who is performing at Zanies on Wells. You can go to zanies.com for ticket and showtime information. And he has a new album called Michael Palasak, That One Thing. Mm-hmm. Did you break your cell phone?
That story is about a kid who almost throws an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, the dad takes it away, and he's like, I didn't even drop it. I did that one thing. So the
cover
is
like, that one thing. That's great. That's wonderful. That's a great image. So how can people buy your album?
It's on iTunes and also my website, michaelpalasak.com.
Traditional spelling?
Yeah, MichaelPalasak.
.com.
And then go to the store, and there's links to the CD copy.
Have you bought Palasak with S-A-C-K yet? So they link together?
Oh, we should talk about this off air so someone doesn't do it.
So joining us on the line is, we're talking about things that you've never done or owned that makes you feel a little bit weird. I've never owned a flat screen television. And so I have a deep tube television.
Really?
Yeah.
In real life?
In real life.
That's you said a deep tube, but there's not
there's
a
flat screen television.
No, anyway. We don't have a flat screen television. We have a flat screen. We have a deep tube television.
That's shocking to me.
Steve, what have you never done or owned that people think is a little strange? Hey, Steve.
Never went ice skating, never went skiing. No outdoor activities associated with winter.
Where are you from, Steve?
I'm from Galesburg. I saw you play the Orpheum, and I live up in Deerfield now.
Uh-huh. Wait, you saw me play at the Orpheum? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, for the Bob and Tom tour.
Yep.
Oh, thank you for that. Appreciate it. But was there a reason that you just never liked the feeling of being cold or running around in the snow?
No. I like 90 degrees and sunshine.
And you stay in Illinois.
Stay in Illinois. Good call.
Although maybe you're making the right choice, because the way we're going, we only had a couple days of snow this entire winter.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody thinks I'm nuts. No, I'm not.
I don't think you're nuts at all. No. I like that you stick to your guns. That's what I like about everybody tonight. Is they're like, no, I never did it, and tough, not gonna do it. Yeah, not happening.
Right.
Yep, I feel the same way. Have a great night, Steve. Appreciate it.
Patty,
thanks.
Do you do winter sports? I mean, did you ice skate?
I've gone ice skating. I went sledding on Monday. What are you talking about? We were on that hill.
Yeah.
We were like, let me on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've gotten a concussion sledding. So.
You've got a concussion.
That's how good I am.
Oh, Michael needs a helmet when he sleds. Now that we know. We have Tracy. Don't go head first. Don't go head first. And look out for the other sledders.
I was head back. I just did a flip.
Oh,
no,
yeah. Yeah.
There's a ramp. I miscalculated the weight
of
me.
National Lampoons.
It was it must have been pretty impressive. I don't remember it.
You know what he did? He greased the skids. Hey, Tracy, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. Where are you calling from?
The South Side.
South Side. What have you never done or owned?
I never drunk a beer, and I never owned a car.
You've never owned a car. Now, I can understand a beer, because it smells kind of nasty if you don't like it, right?
But on the south side? Any sort of alcohol?
Do you drink other alcohol?
I don't like no alcohol.
See? I can see that, not have a taste for it. Now, never owned a car. Is it just never come up for you?
The reason I never owned a car is because I have epilepsy.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's hard
A lot of people with epilepsy try to drive, but they shouldn't be behind the wheel.
Yeah.
No, because you have to go for a certain time without a seizure.
Right. I think it's 6 months.
The longest I went was a year and 6 months. And then after the 6 months, I had about five.
Oh no. How have you been lately?
It's been doing good.
Oh, good.
Well, it should be longer in the state of Illinois.
It should be longer between how many? Because I think it's a year in the state of Illinois.
I thought it was 6 months. Am I wrong? It may have been 6 months in other places.
Yeah, it should be longer. It should be 2 years.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Tracy, I hope you continue to do well. It's wonderful to hear from you.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Take care, Tracy.
Take care. Bye-bye. Oh, I didn't mean to cut her off with the bye-bye. It was very sweet. We also have on the line with us, we have Ross, who wanted to join the conversation. Hey, Ross, what do you want to tell us that you've never done or owned?
Hi there. I have never done any illegal drugs. I have never drank any alcohol. And I have never taken any prescription or over-the-counter painkillers. I mean, not even an aspirin.
Okay, that's the one we're all. That's where our jaws are. Wait. So even as a kid, if you had a fever, your parents never gave you like Tylenol or ibuprofen?
Nope, I wouldn't take it.
You wouldn't take it? You're like, not this body.
Yeah.
This body is a temple. I'm not going to take the. I'm not going to be a victim of the pharmaceutical companies trying to impose their. Yeah.
So when I had a fever, my mom used to give me basil and mint.
Basil and mint.
Basil and mint. How about Vicks VapoRub? Did you have that?
Nope.
No Vicks VapoRub. Oh, I don't understand this household at all.
What if you ever got like punched in the face? Like
ice.
Ice. Just ice.
Just
like an injury.
Steak.
Yeah, ice and Grin and Barrett.
Grin what?
Grin and Barrett.
Grin and Barrett. Barrett. Oh, gotcha. I was like, is that a
Grand Marnier?
Is that an herb?
I know.
We drink a lot of Grand Marnier.
Ross, where are you calling from?
I'm right now in Indianapolis, heading home to Chicago.
Are you a trucker?
No, I'm. I own a transportation company.
Okay.
So also, Ruth was mentioning about the Starbucks fruitcake coffee.
Yes.
I have found out where I can buy it pretty much, except for in the spring and the summer, I can get it at Bed Bath & Beyond and Downers Grove.
So they sell the coffee beans that taste like fruitcake?
They sell the K-Cups.
Oh, gotcha. Very cool. Oh, the K-Cups. Oh, excellent.
Yeah. And then now the one more thing is there's something I wish I'd never owned.
What?
Cell phones.
I know, but now we can't deal without them. I mean, some people, if they never had one.
Then you wouldn't be talking to us right now.
Exactly. What would you be? You'd be listening to the show. You wouldn't be able to join the conversation.
I have one personal phone and I have three company phones.
Oh, wow.
I know how that goes.
You're almost
you're like your own family plan.
Yeah, I am. And I mean, they want me to have the computer in the car. They want me to have the iPad in the car. They always want me to be available 24/7.
You have earned a drink.
Wow. Yeah. He's not going to have one.
I'm on my way back from Ohio right now, taking care of a problem with the driver.
Oh, wow. So, well, that's some long hours as a business owner. We appreciate you calling us and joining our conversation.
Have a milkshake on me.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
That's a good idea. That keeps me awake in the middle of the night when I'm driving. There was one night when you and I were leaving Indianapolis.
Steak and Shake.
And that was New Year's Eve.
Oh,
we
hung
out. But when I was, I like leaving in the middle of the night from gigs.
Yeah.
I do, in the middle of the night when I have to keep awake, I drink Yoo-Hoo and Cheetos is my go-to. I don't know why that's.
Yoo-Hoo and Cheetos.
Yeah.
That is disgusting.
I don't know if that's scientifically proven.
Yeah, that's my go-to.
Where do you find Yoo-Hoo?
A lot of the 7-Elevens. Okay. Yeah, a lot of the convenience stores, they all have Yoo-Hoo. Okay. I don't know why either. But it's there for me, and I appreciate it. We have on the line with us Alexis. Hey, Alexis, what have you never done or owned?
Hi.
I've
a little embarrassing, but I have never had to shave my legs or under my arms.
When you say you've never had to, that makes me think that you don't grow a lot of hair, or it's not very prominent. See, there are people.
Yeah, I lost that gene. I wasn't blessed with that gene, and luckily, I'm glad.
I know.
It seems like you save money on razors.
Scars on the legs.
Yeah, I have. I once was getting ready for a show at Zany's in Vernon Hills. It was Halloween, and I was wearing a farm girl out costume. Like, I had pigtails, and I had I put freckles on. Like, I was working out on the farm in the sun, and I went to shave my legs, and I slipped and carved like a huge chunk out of my shin, and I left it there. And I think because it was Halloween, yeah. I just let the dripping blood dry on my leg because I was like I was in a tractor accident.
Right.
So you, my friend, have never like.
Some people thought that was makeup, but it was like blood.
Yeah.
Patty's blood.
I commit.
Years I've never had to shave.
Wow, that's pretty wild. Do you tell people that, or is it, I mean, how does that come up in a conversation, really?
Usually during the summer when people go, oh, you know, I just shaved my legs, say, well, I've never shaved my legs. So
yeah, I'm not like that. Yeah. I feel self-conscious. I don't even know who notices. You know, I don't think anybody ever even notices whether, I mean, do you guys ever notice when a woman hasn't shaved?
It comes up with my daughter. My daughter needs to shave daily, and she got the Italian genes.
I always make jokes that it's my Mexican side that I have dark hair, but my mom's like, oh no. Your father, he was hairy.
Irish?
And how about your sisters? Because my sisters are Irish. I have Irish-German sisters. They are like wildebeests. Thank you, Alexis. I'm glad that you're not a wildebeest like my sisters. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Yeah, I have... I shave my arms.
Pretty
That's
cool.
Something I said out loud. Oh, that got your attention, Scott, didn't it? It doesn't grow back. It doesn't grow back stubbly.
You're really?
Yeah. And it doesn't grow back very much either.
You just said you shave your arms?
I have never shaved my arms.
I shave my arms.
Don't think I've ever shaved my arms. Mm-hmm.
I know. I don't know why it just struck me one day. I waxed them for my wedding because it was just dark. It's just dark hair, and I thought it'd be nice to not. But it is weird because like it's the way my arms were when I was in grade school. So it's a little creepy that way, you know. So it's like, it reminds me of
beautiful and empowering.
So I was standing in the shower one day, and I was like, I wonder, you know. So I shaved my arms, and it doesn't really. It grows back like every 3 months, and that's about it.
That's wow. Great.
I know, it's weird.
That's a great lesson.
I don't know why I just shared that with you. I have no shame. More after this on 720 WGN. We were doing Neverthing, and I'm like, guess what I do? Really? You're weird. I went the other way. I went the other way. More after this on 7. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian James Vickery, who was off to Las Vegas to perform at the Stratosphere. Comedian Michael Palsack, who's performing at the Zanies on Wells and has his new album available on iTunes and his website, That One Thing. And he is, again, Zanies on Wells. Go to zanies.com for ticket information. Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist with Chicago Tribune, is in studio as well. And Tribune. We're not going to be in a building together anymore.
Let's look in that way. We're hearing rumblings. We're hearing rumors.
Yeah, it's time to go. So that's it. And Michael Heidemann joins us on the line. He's already left. He's like, you know what? I'm going to take a break from this building since we're not going to be here much longer.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael Heidemann down in South by Southwest. How are you doing?
Tribune. I'm doing really well. How is everybody doing down there?
We're a little slap happy. We've eaten too many Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, my God. The s'mores ones. Come on.
Yeah.
So very, very, very,
those
very
are
good.
Dangerous. You got to be careful with those.
Oh, we've got. Honestly, that's the one. We're on the third box in this rotation of cookies. I have the Thin Mints. I have the Do-Si-Dos. I got the toffee ones, and those are all just single boxes. They've been here every week, but the s'mores. I'm on the third box of those. So everyone seems to really enjoy the s'mores, which I am glad because I can't eat them all. I only have $30,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies left.
As long as you're paying it off every week.
Yes. Yeah, can you tell we had David Hochberg on earlier, right. Michael?
Oh, yeah. He must have guys put you in your place or something like that.
Yes.
Love that segment. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, the music is really what kicked off today, wasn't it?
The music kicked off earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's been going full force. There's been a lot of really cool announcements. Some of the bands that have been playing here have been playing surprise shows. There's this phenomenal band that played last night, and I had no idea, but At The Drive-In played a secret show last night. And Lana Del Rey just actually announced that she's going to be playing tomorrow live here at the Apple stage. It's the first show of her, like, after she released her new single, Love, and it's this big thing here down in Austin. So the music scene has been a buzz. There's so much music everywhere right now. I'm kind of overwhelmed at the moment.
Well, when you say that there was a secret show, The Drive-In did a secret show, Do you just like happen to be in the right place at the right time, and they do like a pop up music show? I mean, like how secret? Who knows about the secret show?
They pretend to be homeless people on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Everyone's invited, and no matter who they are. The thing about the secret shows, it's a cool thing because, you know, relating it to Chicago, it's like every single one of your favorite artists are in the city at one time. I mean, everyone has nowhere to go except within these like 20 miles. So you're able to see some of the greatest artists that you've ever seen within this time frame. So when the secret shows happen, they're usually not announced. And then all of a sudden, like, there'll be a little bit of a buzz. Like, I think that I Have to Drive In's going to be playing here tonight. And people wait around until, like, midnight when they go on stage. And then that's when they hit it, and it's fantastic. Like, if you're seeing comedy, a lot of the time the performers will bring on, like, special guests. So I saw Scott Aukerman last year, and he brought on Hannibal Buress, and he brought on all these really, really great people that I had no idea about. Eliza Schlesinger was there last year, too. So you don't really know what to expect, which is kind of the cool thing. The only thing you can respect is, like, really great barbecue and really tasty tacos, which I had many of today.
Man, those are two of the best things on earth.
I know. It sounds magical where you are at South by Southwest. Hey, when you were at, like, all the conventions, like, there's a kind of a convention with a lot of different companies, right, trying to, like, hawk their products. Did you get, like, a bunch of swag while you're there, too?
Oh, my gosh. I have about 15 pairs of sunglasses and chapstick that I have no idea what to do with right now.
What is the chapstick thing? I can kind of get the people always handing out chapstick.
That's a good point, because it's like why would you use chapstick? Because when do you use it? Especially since it has some like Grubhub name on it or some like some company's name. It's like, are you going to use it more than once? Are you trying to tag me in by just getting yourself closer to my lips? Like, do you want like the logo to be right in my face? Is that why you're making it?
And Texas isn't a big chapped lip place, I don't think.
Oh, sure. It's windy. It's sunny there.
It's a dry heat.
It's not cold.
It's very dry heat. This chapstick, I'm complaining about it, but it's actually coming very handy.
See what we did there? Okay, so you've gone through a bunch of the conventions and the speeches. You've heard some music. Have you seen any comedy at all yet? I know that you mentioned that there was Hannibal Buress and Eliza Schlesinger. Have you seen any of the shows?
Oh, yes. The thing that I love the most is seeing these huge artists in very intimate venues. The big comedy thing here is the comedy venue is called Esther's Follies, which is a very small room. Think of it more as like the Hideout in Chicago.
Okay.
So it's a very, very close quartered place. They have a bar in the back and, you know, crazy stuff hanging from the walls. And so with the first night I got in and I saw, who did I see? I can remember the most recent one. I saw Doug Stanhope and Friends.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, he's recording his special here in Austin. So he had three performances throughout the day that he kind of cut together. And it was funny because he'd be like, listen, if you don't like this performance, the next one is going to be fantastic. And we're going to just cut them all together. So you're going to think it's a lot more fun than it actually was.
He's great. How did you like that show?
It was fantastic. Yeah. He kind of goes on the edge of a lot of topics. So
just a little bit.
I was like, ooh. Yeah. But it was fantastic. And then the first night I saw it was an improv event, and I saw Nate Bargatze and Nick Thune. Yeah. They performed together.
Oh,
so that was pretty exciting as well.
They performed at the same time?
Yeah, they called it was called What About Nate Thune. That was the show they did. So that was kind of funny.
Oh, I love it.
There's been lots of great surprises, lots of cool things happening, and actually I have some exclusive news for the next interview, the final interview that I'll be doing here at South by Southwest for tomorrow.
Yes. We're listening.
Strap up your cowboy boots, because I'm going to be speaking to the one and only Garth Brooks.
What? Whoa. Oh, come on. That's great.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about buying a cowboy hat and stirrups just for the heck of it.
I don't know. Boots. I think you just need the boots. I think you can get away with
them. Yeah, you don't need the spurs.
No, you don't need the spurs, but definitely the boots. The hat, maybe. I mean, he's got a pretty signature look.
Yeah, you don't want to pander too much.
Yeah.
Never want to pander, always cater, never pander.
I like that. That is a good sentiment.
Always cater, never pander, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. And now I have to look up the difference.
Have you guys ever played South by Southwest?
Oh, that's one thing I've never done is played South by Southwest.
Yeah.
What was that, Michael?
One of the common things. Sorry.
Michael?
Oh, no. I was just talking about Garth Brooks' cowboy hat. Go ahead.
What's leading to this interview? Did you make a request to meet with him?
Yeah. So, again, like I mentioned the first day that I spoke to you, Patty, it's kind of like, you know, you have these dream interviews and you shoot the people an email. And, you know, I probably sent about 15 emails to these people throughout the time and get no responses. And then the one time they say yes, you're like, holy crap, are you being serious right now?
All right, well, now
allow me to speak to him?
Now I need to know who said no, because I'm impressed that Garth Brooks said yes. Who said no to you?
Oh, he's kind of a deep cut, but you might not know who he is, but there's a Canadian radio host that I've been trying to pan down forever. His name is Nardwar, and if anybody knows them in the WGN sphere right now, you'll know who I'm talking about. He's this obscure comedy guy, and he said no to me like four times. I don't get it. He doesn't want to do interviews.
Wow, did you hear the earnestness in Michael's? Yeah, exactly.
If only he knew that existed in you. Maybe I reconsider.
Maybe we should call him from our show, Nardwar. Nardwar? Nardwar. Okay.
You're giving him too much promotion for him saying no to me.
Exactly. You're right. I'm going to say Wadna.
His name is Nardwar.
Exactly. Who else has said no to you? Who else says no to Michael Heidemann?
No, just fools, I guess, to be honest.
You want to name names, do you?
Well, let me see here. So, Joe Biden, he was kind of busy. Okay. Yeah.
With what? He's a retired vice president. What could he possibly be busy with?
He's going through and picking his favorite memes of himself.
Mm-hmm. Good Lord. And he actually, and Consequence of Sound has a great article that they posted with him. They did get the interview, and they went through his memes with him.
Oh, really?
So go and check that out online, yeah.
That's great.
It's been fantastic, though. There's a lot of cool opportunities to get interviews here. So if you ever want to come down to Austin for South by Southwest, make sure you talk to as many people as you can, because you'll never know who you're going to bump into, and then maybe once in a while you'll get to speak to Garth Brooks. Who knows?
Exactly. I love that. Well, I look forward to hearing how that goes. Checking with you tomorrow night?
Absolutely, Patty. Good hearing from you.
Excellent. Good to hear from you, too. Miss you. Be safe, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye, boy.
Bye. Yeah, he's going to get a nice pair of cowboy boots. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. You can follow Mike's adventures on Facebook. That's Michael Heidemann with two N's. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. Go to chicagotribune.com/Stantis for all the work that he does there. Comedian James Vickery, who is leaving for Las Vegas to perform at the Stratosphere. Do you know the information where people can hear us down in Vegas?
Absolutely.
Online and such?
Yeah, it's a late Saturday show.
At the Stratosphere?
Yeah, at the Stratosphere.
Excellent.
The Stew. And by the way, it's comedians, the way they advertise is pro comedians doing new material.
Oh.
So it has to be brand new material.
Well, the nice thing is that no one there knows, do they?
Exactly.
You're all tourists.
You know a good way to get new material is to go on that roller coaster that goes off the roof.
That's a good way.
That's how comedians live our lives. We're like, if I do something new, maybe I might do my genealogy testing, like the DNA test, so I can write new material. I go, nope, I was all that material I did about being Irish and Mexican.
Totally wrong.
Half black. I know. Anything could happen. Comedian Michael Palasek is at the Zanies on Wells. You can go to zanies.com. That's right there in Old Town. And his new album, That One Thing, is available on iTunes and his website. Michael Palasek, and that's the S-C-A-K.
Yes.
But Michael
Pala.
S-C-A-K.
Yeah.
See, that's all. I think you can get there. You'll find him. Yeah. If you Google it, you'll be led there.
Yeah, come. First thing, bam.
How do you feel about President Trump's first 100 days so far? I mean, we're not at 100
God.
Days. How many days are we in?
You know, you and I, we talked right after the... it seems like... we're in the 13th year or something, aren't we? We've talked about this a lot, and you know, after the joint session of Congress, I thought, okay, that speech was an adult speech. It had some.
He said words.
Mm-hmm. He said words. They were flying. You know, the rhetoric was adult.
Rolled out a couple people so he could feel bad for a woman in a wheelchair and deregulate FDA. Not to talk about rights for the disabled, but to say, hey, we should be able to try out new drugs, which is fine. It's true too, but. wasn't the woman who has Pompe's disorder. Yes.
Mm-hmm. No. But I thought, okay, well, maybe this is a sea change. Maybe this is the new Trump. This is the President Trump. Nope, wrong answer. We were back to the monosyllable.
Do you know why now? Do you see why I didn't watch the speech? It's what you do. It's not what you standing in front of.
Oh, well, part of what you do as president is you deliver important addresses in an adult presidential.
And did
way.
He say he was going to do this? The budget that he's
none
released
of this
today?
Is a surprise. This, I mean, eviscerating the a lot of stuff. Some mm-hmm. of it you have to agree with. There's redundancies and stuff that they do cite here, but then there's other stuff that you just go seriously because it's not cutting the budget because all of the savings here are now going towards defense spending.
Right.
And we're going to have a war with who?
Wasn't there a study that found that the Pentagon had wasted $625 billion last year?
Oh, at least, yeah.
No. So we're talking about redundancy and are these effective and what are the results? Like Meals on Wheels is not effective because seniors are getting meals and what's the byproduct of that? But wasting $625 billion, well, that seems like something we should keep throwing money at. Certainly.
Oh, I would, as someone who comes from right of center, I like having a strong and effective defense. But the fact of the matter is Soviet Union's gone bye-bye. China, that war is not going to happen anytime soon. So what are we fighting?
You say Soviet Union, but we have Russia is in the pretty much mechanically striving to
recreate. Do you realize
recreate.
That their GDP is less than California's? All of Russia,
yeah.
Right? Which
California,
which does what?
It's because of us.
Which means that they don't have any money. What are we fighting against? We bank the
but,
way.
But it means they have nothing to lose.
No, it does. No, that's not what that means at all.
It does.
It means that they can't match us dollar for dollar, and that's how Reagan won the Cold War.
You don't have to go dollar for dollar if all you have are the weapons that you need to push a button on.
Well, that's true too, and they have ICBMs, which are aging, and that you have to imagine that some guy in a silo and God in a hotness stand. Is making $10 a month.
Find that on a map.
My point is that you can have a smaller defense budget because the war that we're
in. The nature of warfare, too, has just changed.
The enemy now that we're concerned with are, suitcase bombs, right. and small cells. So my point is that I believe it's $65 billion that they save in these cuts on the social programs mm-hmm. is all going towards defense spending. It's
right.
Zero sum.
So they've zeroed out a lot of programs, including Meals on Wheels, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, yeah. Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program. Also, if you happen to live in a rural community, which are served by private sector financing and other federal investments in rural water infrastructure, that is also being eliminated by $498 million.
What was the excuse for that one?
It doesn't say what the reasoning is. Okay. Also, the International Food for Education Program, which there are a lot of contracts with farmers. Yeah. They supply a lot of the food that goes to a lot of these programs.
I know. I took issue. I watched some of the press conference today when the
– with Spicer?
Well, and it was the Mulvey.
Mulvey,
who talked about the budget.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
I'm laughing because I watched it.
I did. And when he talked about the National Endowment for the Arts being cut and public broadcasting, like you said, and he said it's very defensible because you could say to the out of work coal miner or the single mother in Pennsylvania, like, oh, we're taking money from you, but we're giving it to this.
They also cut funding for coal miners.
Well, of course, right.
So I don't understand.
But even sticking with what he originally said, I just how do you not think public television, news and information that's free and available to the public is an important part of society?
Well, to be
or art as part of civilization.
Yeah, but to be fair, for public broadcasting, they should be zeroed out. And for this, for a very simple reason, that if you look at their budget and you spread it across all the stations, most stations 2-3%, maybe 4% of their income comes from the federal budget. So it's really
That's what seems so silly about it. That it's such a small number. It's like it feels like a symbolic gesture.
Well, I was in a debate with the GM of the NPR station here in town talking about that, and my take was the Republicans have always made that a target,
right.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so take it away from them. You make enough money, you don't need it. You can cut your budget by 2%, and then you don't have to mess with some knuckle dragger from central someplace.
So they're not shutting down.
Go ahead. They're not saying, right,
NPR's not shutting down. They're just not getting money from the government.
They're not
getting
the federal
not
dollars,
federal,
right?
Yeah.
Although there is a stick in central Alaska that's almost 100% funded by the federal government. It's an NPR.
Can I ask you about the phrase knuckle dragging?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, Neanderthal, caveman.
Mm-hmm. I just I'm wondering because I've seen people resort to using that kind of language, and I wonder where it has a place in an argument or a debate about knuckle draggers.
I just like the phrase. I think
intellectually unsturdy is probably better. It's got the hard K.
Intellectually unsturdy just doesn't pop.
I just am having trouble lately with people getting kind of. Because when people hear knuckle dragger, I don't know why, but for some reason they think it's directed at them, and I don't know. Okay. I don't know why they.
I have a friend who's a cartoonist in South Arizona, and he posts many times a day to Facebook, and he's very, very liberal, and he says the swine that are sloshing around and describing your problem. And you may be right. I think we dehumanize each other way too easily, and I'm probably guilty of it. I'm sorry.
No, could you say mouth breather? And
but you mouth are breather. A comic. Person, so you kind of do
need to, right?
Yeah,
right.
Dehumanize people. I have to make people less than they are. It's my job.
That's what's funny.
I draw their noses.
Right.
Noses aren't that big.
I know. I get nervous when you draw people in studio because I'm like, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Because I remember when you did Gary Myers' psychic, Jim Elton. You did Jim Elton.
God.
Jim Elton.
Oh my
Jim.
God! Yeah, who does a podcast for WGN Plus?
Yes,
now.
And you made him larger than maybe he sees himself.
Yes. And oh my gosh, he was. I'm not afraid to name names.
Thank you for never drawing my boobs. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, I draw your beautiful smile and your smiling eyes. We had the people from the Illinois Policy Institute. And when I sit in an editorial board meeting, my notes are almost always consisted of notes and drawings of the people. And so as a friendly gesture, I took a picture of it and I texted it to them. Say, hey, look, during the meeting, wasn't this fun? There you are. Blah, blah. I haven't heard anything from them since.
From IPI?
Yes.
Why does IPI have any influence whatsoever in the state of Illinois? There's a think tank. Exactly,
dinero,
with money.
As they say, a lot of money.
So exactly. So what? Go away.
Don't say so what. Then
so
politics?
What?
You're going to say so what?
IPA.
To money.
No, they're not. They're not politics. They're a thing. They're a Republican think tank.
Part of it is, and they don't contribute. They're a but.
Exactly. Just live there. That right there. Can you please just?
Oh, Illinois Policy Institute has a lot of different.
They don't contribute.
They do. They have their ideas. They've actually put together a budget. It's preposterous because it's because it's not realistic. I mean, it's just, you know, we don't have to have tax increases and we can balance Illinois' budget.
Wait, we don't have to have tax increases, but that's what they're saying.
Yes, that's what their budget is. And I don't know that that's entirely practical in this environment, but they have other wings. It's an interesting organization. It's fascinating.
But they're the only ones. I don't see, like, if there was a competing sort of counter conversation with somebody else, but it's just them that everyone seems to refer to and go to as a sort of like, oh, well, you know what? Every article I was telling you I've been doing research, every article I looked at was like, and the IPI says this, and the IPI says that. Who are you and why do you have...
Well, they've established themselves as the authoritative conservative voice.
Exactly. Right there. Again, one, two things. They don't contribute and they establish themselves.
I disagree with the kind that they
do.
Do
they
contribute.
Do some sort you of said, research?
Yeah, they do research.
And are they just people in a room with money?
No. No, they're not. I've been to their...
They're in several rooms.
Yes, that's true.
It's in a whole building?
With stacks of money.
In a glassed-in conference room. It's very... No, they're... It's an impressive outfit and they have some deep thinkers. You disagree with them and they... What?
But what is what are they there? I mean, I schooled. What's the? I'm. I don't
know. Yeah. What qualifies them to have so much influence as it seems on the governor, on the legislature? I mean, they really and like I said, every article I looked at and they generate pieces that look like they're journalism and it's their opinion and it's not people aren't reading it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, can anyone join? Like, what's the deal?
See,
you can contribute. If that's what you if that's where you want your
write
money
the
to
check
go.
To IPI of
yes no I listen I'm going to defend them. I think they do they're a really interesting entity in the state. They're a voice.
But what do they do?
I'm telling you,
I'm just saying I've never
it
heard
depends
of them,
on which
so
one
I
you're talking
know.
About the Illinois Policy Institute, for instance. If you're looking at the nonprofit, does research and does produces papers. We have a columnist whose name I'm terrible at, and she writes a column once a month for the Chicago Tribune. There are other members who do other think pieces.
But is their research slanted?
Yes. It's from it's coming from a conservative, you know, Hayekian, any kind Milton Friedman type economic perspective. So they,
although I would think if you're doing research on things, it would be
non-biased.
Right.
Well, it's research to confirm. Well, okay. But
to confirm their opinions.
Yeah. To confirm that.
Then how
so
am
what
I
if
wrong?
It comes out
it's called
the other
targeted
way.
Research.
Right.
Yeah.
What was that, Ellen? What was that, Esmeralda?
What if it comes out the other way? Do they publish that?
No.
I would probably guess. I think it's to confirm an idea and an ideal. Mm-hmm. And there are a million think tanks like it around the country, left and right and center and everything in between. But they do have a political arm that raises a great deal of money and sloshes it around.
Yeah, they have.
They sound great.
Well, they're been a little as you know any other politically active group. They have an absolute right.
But they're also paid to reinforce what their benefactors want them to say.
Well, they're people who believe strongly and have confirmed in their minds that this is the proper tact to take. And is there information to say that yes, it is?
Mm-hmm. Here's some of the things that they want to privatize education, restrict workers' rights, roll back environmental protections. So these are all things that are part of the Illinois Policy Institute's objectives.
Okay.
I'm just saying. So I just don't see why they get to have influence on the governor and the government of Illinois.
Well, that's because the governor is a Republican, and there aren't a lot of Republicans in the state with a lot of money.
There aren't a lot of Republicans in the state with a lot of money.
No, are there?
I assume that's all that has the money.
No, that's not true.
No,
that's
no,
not true. Pritzker no. and Kennedy are both looking. Chris Kennedy's already thrown his hat in the ring. How is that? So that's justification. Is the Republicans don't have a lot of money, so they don't have anybody else?
No,
so they...
I'm saying money is power in politics. Sadly, that's still the truth because we haven't grown up enough to have any kind of campaign finance reform.
Mm-hmm.
And right. So, you know, and when the Supreme Court and People United decision says that, you know, money is speech, well, then right. money becomes what
well,
it has
then
always
we should
been.
Accept that.
Yes, exactly.
Is that what the? Mm-hmm.
I don't think we should. I'm one of the few.
It's just weird to me when people say that you know, oh, someone's pushing an agenda, and IPI is clearly pushing an agenda,
sure.
and somehow they're taken as people who have something that should be, you know, adhered to or respected at the legislative level in the state of Illinois. I don't know why people aren't pushing back against the Illinois Policy Institute. It's just weird.
Well, they are.
Okay.
I think there's definitely.
And here we are on WGN Radio going, who are
moment.
You?
Yes.
And I'm telling you.
More after this. Not you. Are you in the Illinois Policy Institute?
No.
But they did just hire
a cartoonist. Eric Alley, who's a terrific cartoonist.
Why does a research think tank need a cartoonist? You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Michael Palasak, who's at the Zanies on Wells. You can go to zanies.com. He's there through Sunday. And also, you can grab his new album, That One Thing, on iTunes or his website, Michael Palasak. Michael Pala, S-C-A-K, just to help you finish through the end of that. Comedian James Vickery, who's performing at the Stratosphere in Las Vegas this weekend on Saturday for a late show.
That's right.
He's not riding the... roller coaster on the top of the
I will not. I'm deathly afraid of heights.
I'm with you. And also, we have political cartoonist, the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantos. I just got a message from a listener named Dory who says CPB funding is a far larger percentage of a rural public radio station budget than 2%.
Yeah.
So is that for the
for
public broadcasting?
Yes.
Is larger than 2%?
And a lot of
rural
areas. Yeah.
So if you eliminate that, that's gonna make them vulnerable.
Way to get information and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. But they could probably through crowdsourcing. PBS and NPR for decades have been doing crowdsourcing.
My problem with the way you made it sound like it was just this insignificant, like frivolous thing.
Well,
and I think of like public information as like a key part of civilization.
Oh, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Thank you, Dory. Appreciate that. That's what the CPB.
Oh,
CPB.
Okay, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they support public television and radio station, including PBS Television Network and indirectly National Public Radio. There's also cuts to the National Endowment for Humanities, which was $155 million. So far, he has spent $183 million on his travel.
Well, you got to play golf.
I'm just
yeah.
Community Development Block Grant Programs is $3 billion, which has been a bread-and-butter funding source for local communities for 42 years, totaling more than $150 billion in grants over its history. According to the Trump budget, the program is not well-targeted to the poorest populations and has not demonstrated results. You know what I found out about our budget in Springfield, in Illinois, is that one of the programs that has been suffered as part of the cuts and the stagnation of the ability of the legislators to pass a budget has been violence programs, anti-violence programs in the Chicago area. So during that time, violence has in fact increased with the lack of funding for those programs. So
I'm sure it has.
some stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
Nick D is up next. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Find Scott Stantis' work at chicagotribune.com/Stantis. Michael Palasek, when are you in town again?
I'm in Rosemont the Mother's Day weekend.
Oh, excellent. Zanies, so we will see you in May.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be very fun. Yeah. And James, when are you back in town?
At the end of May, I'll be at the Zanies in Old Town.
We have to come back April 22nd.
Oh, yes, and I'll be there.
You'll be here this weekend with me.
With the
Elmhurst Fire Department. Excellent.
Well, I'll be in Urbana, Illinois, April 21st through 22nd.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so maybe I'll come by and see you.
Go to my alma mater.
Yeah.
Where are you performing there?
It's a restaurant at the Stony Creek Golf Club.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. So look for Michael in Urbana the weekend of April 21st and 22nd.
Yeah.
Nick D, like I said, is up next. This is Chicago's very own 720. Elise, thank you so much. I'll see you tomorrow night. Yay. We didn't even get to talk about how you never had cable. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right, tomorrow.
We can pretend like it never happened.
Somebody else took it. I know. There were so many callers. Thank you to all of our callers. Again, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.